When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca with Anthony Pusick, and EJ Raddick is nice enough to join us from the NHL Network. How are you, sir? You've been very elusive the last couple of weeks. Is everything okay?
Everything is good. Yeah, I'm working on my elusiveness. My schedule is different this year, and we've been able to do most of the Mondays, but just got into a stretch where there were some tricky days. But good to be with you guys again, and we're finally, since we last spoke, obviously we're into the playoffs now, which is, the best time. Now we're in business, right? It's not where I'm counting games played and, who's got coming up with this, if this team can beat this team. Now we're into the nitty-gritty, so it's great. Love it.
Any word on what's going on with Nylander in Toronto?
No, everybody up there is, if I had the answer to that, I could do well because everybody has been all over it. We'll see if he goes in game three. It seems like it was pointing in that direction. I haven't looked right this morning to see if there was any final verdict, but, it's credit Toronto because, after a not a great performance in game number one. I think a game when they were just out over their skis a little too much. They were trying to do too many different things in the same game. I think that in game two, they dialed it in and played and overcame a couple of deficits in the game and gave up a tough goal late in the first period and came back and played very well. And we saw one of the great goals in Stanley Cup history. To my mind, Austin Matthews taking a puck out of midair in full flight, putting it down without missing a stride and going in and beating a former Vezina Trophy winner and making him look like, it was you or I. That was a special play by Matthews. So we'll see what happens in game three. But obviously, if Nylander plays, that's a benefit for the Leafs. It gives them that depth that makes them dangerous offensively.
I guess the update is there's no update. Sheldon Keefe says he could go, which means, could mean anything. It means he could go, it means he couldn't go. So.
Which means mind your own business.
I guess, EJ, what I was surprised at was, and Don and I both picked Toronto to win the series last Friday, just how bad they looked in game one, and I thought, same old song. For Toronto, this is how it's going to be. And the curious thing that I thought was going away from Swayman, if you're Boston, he's kind of owned the Leafs this year. And I'm not saying that Ullmark lost them the game. The Leafs just played a better game. But why rotate your goalies when you have a guy who has handled this team pretty well and you won the first game so convincingly?
Well, last year, they didn't rotate their goalies after doing it for most of the season. And they ended up losing in game seven and actually turning to Swayman, who hadn't played in the first six, right? So, or hadn't started any of those six games. So, this year, I think they made it more of a conscious effort to say, this is who we are, and we are going to be the same team in the playoffs that we are in the regular season. We're going to rotate these guys. So, that's what the plan was. It might be one of these things where you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. They could have easily played Swayman in game two, could have struggled. Could have lost by a wider margin. Then people were saying, why didn't you just play Omar? You've been doing that all year. So Omar played well. It's not well enough for the win. The team didn't play well enough in front of them. They didn't generate a ton of offense. Samsonov played pretty well in goal for Toronto. They go back to playing today. I think now it becomes more of a game-to-game, although, I guess the series will dictate as we move forward what they do and how guys are playing and how they feel, but I do think it's a little bit of, a damned if you do, a damned if you don't for Jim Montgomery because of what happened last year. So the goalie wasn't the issue. They got to play better in game number three. They got to generate more offensive zone time. They got to make it harder for Samsonov. And obviously they got to try to do as good a job as they can on Matthews, who played a great game in game two. That was the best playoff game I think I've seen him play. I don't care about how many goals he might have scored in other games. He was good in all areas of the ice, and when it mattered most, he made an unbelievable play. So we'll see what happens in game three. But I didn't have a big problem, Anthony, with the goalie circumstance. I probably would have done the same thing. We'll see what happens in game three.
Rangers up 2-0. Much more competitive game two, primarily because of the fact that Washington was able to kind of get their power play going, even strength. I think the Rangers have been dominant. Ovechkin's been a conversation all year, EJ. What's up with him early? Then he was hot as all hell. One shot on goal in the first two games. That's just not going to cut it. I think the Rangers are fine as long as they don't get in any kind of penalty trouble. I think that's the only way Washington, I think, is going to be able to generate any kind of offense. So as long as the Rangers are disciplined, I think this is going to end quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangers are better. I mean, the Washington Capitals are missing, what, three defensemen out of their group?
Lost another one in game one.
Yeah, I mean, they're deep into their depth on defense now. I mean, I know they have a very good team at Hershey in the American League. They won the Calder Cup last year. They've had another really good year there. They've done a nice job, you know, with developing players there. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're not gonna beat, you know, teams when you're into your 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th defenseman in your organization. So, you know, the Rangers are, you know, they've taken care of business in the first two games. It hasn't always been pretty. The Washington Capitals compete really hard. I think the Rangers have been really well prepared. We looked at game one when Ovechkin didn't get a shot on goal and had, I think it was 7 shot attempts. I thought the Rangers were really aware of where Ovechkin was on the ice at all times. And, really did a good job of getting sticks in lanes and getting sticks on pucks and made it harder for him. And I think for the Capitals, I think for Ovechkin, I think they've got to move him around more. He's got to try to get into some different spots and make the Rangers look for him a little bit more. But if he's in the same old areas, you know, Peter Laviolette coached him for a couple of years. The Rangers are familiar with the Caps. You know, they are, I think, doing a really nice job of being aware of where he is on the ice. Now the game, the series goes to Washington. The Caps will have last change. Maybe they can get some better matchups for him. But, you know, he hasn't looked great in his first two games. But you know what? He didn't look great for the first 3 months of the season, and all of a sudden he got hot. So, I mean, he's always, you know, he's like, you know, he's got the big punch, right? He's always one punch away from being a dangerous player in these games. So the Rangers have to continue to do what they've been doing, which is be aware of him at all times.
A 2-0 series lead for Florida, EJ, but Tampa has been in both of these games. Last night's went to overtime. Carter Verhaeghe now his 5th goal in overtime. But
14 overtime games.
Yep.
In his career. I went through last night, like, you know, you have Sakic has 8 overtime game winners, which I don't think we appreciate Joe Sakic enough for
right.
8 overtime game winners in his career, right? Like, when his name is not the first name that comes up in a lot of conversations about really great clutch players, but I mean 8 overtime game winners, and then you have the Rocket who had 6, and it was Glenn Anderson, Patrick Kane, and Corey Perry they had 5, those 3 guys, and now Verhaeghe has 5. But the thing is, Verhaeghe's only played in 14 overtime games. Whereas, I think Patrick Kane played in 40, Corey Perry has played in 47. I mean, it's really crazy to think that this guy, and even last night as I was watching the game, and I'm not a big, you know, guy about, you know, let's pick a guy to score in overtime. I mean, less than anybody could score in overtime. I mean, if you're on the ice, you have a chance to score in overtime, right? But, like, I thought immediately to myself, Carter Verhaeghe, he's going to score, and he did. It's crazy. So, you know, this guy, it's kind of crazy, you know, he bounced around a little. I think he was originally a Toronto property, and then he was in the Islanders group, and then he was in Tampa, and he was part of their, like, just a very periphery part of their Stanley Cup team. And then he's gone to Florida and really taken off. It's a little bit of the same path that Jonathan Marchessault went on when he went from Tampa to Florida and then to Vegas, and his career kind of took off. But Verhaeghe has done the same, and you know, it's kind of a crazy story. But and even the season, guys, he had 19 goals in the third period of games this season. That was the 5th most in the league, and he it was the most on his team. And they had a guy that scored over 50 goals. So this guy has a knack for scoring at big moments in big games, and he did it again. And that was a hell of a game. Great, I mean, unbelievable goaltending. I just said the Matthews goal the other night was one of the great goals.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky saved last night, one of the great saves. You're going to be seeing that save for years and years to come. Yeah.
The only thing that hurts the save is that it happened in game two in the second period. If that game is if that happens in overtime, if that happens in a game seven, it's probably going to be one of the top three saves we've ever seen in our lives. I mean, that was how good it was.
Yeah. But like the Holtby save against
Vegas.
Vegas goal, I think it was in game two. I mean, it was like late in the game. It was a game saver. Kept the Capitals in the lead. That's one that stands out to me as kind of an all-timer. I think it was Alex Tuch when he was with Vegas. So, I mean, it was up there. And, boy, oh, boy, if you're Matt Dumbly, you got to just shake your head. I mean, like, this didn't seem like there was any way Bobrovsky was going to pull his body like that and have a chance. I mean, there's an element of good fortune in all those kind of plays because the puck... the player shooting it has to put it in an area where you have a chance to stop it. I mean, if double fans on that backhand, it could just roll in the net. But he kind of lifted it, and Bobrovsky was able to spin around and still have an idea of what was going on and keep it out. So that's a goaltending four to four last night between, Vasilevskiy was excellent too, and then Bobrovsky made a couple of. He made a great save in the dying seconds of regulation on Duclair that people might not realize what a good save it was because he went to the poke check, Duclair beat him and got the puck up in the air, and Bobrovsky still kind of was able to kind of flip his shoulder up in the air and just get a piece of it. I mean, that's a hard stop. So I guess back to the original question, right? Like, it's a close series. I think it's going to be a close series. I mean, maybe Florida wins four games like this, but I expect the games to be all the same. Really tight checking, really close games, and obviously Tampa goes home. They got to hold serve at home ice and make it a 2 out of 3. We'll see if they can do it.
Can Vancouver survive without Demko?
Not for long. Can they get past Nashville? Maybe, but Rick Tocchet said week to week now. And you got to remember with Thatcher Demko, he's been injured several times over the last 3 years. He's had hip and knee procedures. He came back after missing a bunch of games. You wonder, did he come back too early? Who knows? The bottom line is he's out and he's week to week. So Casey DeSmith is there. He's a competent NHL goaltender, and he played well for them this year. But at the end of the day, he's not Thatcher Demko, right? So this is going to be much more challenging. They're going to need to be better in front of him. They're going to need more from, like Elias Pettersson last night. That was a talk after the game. He missed a really good opportunity. And, Rick Tocchet talked about him as being a young player in these situations. So, we'll see. We'll have to monitor that and see how things unfold there. They did have a ton of shot attempts and give the Nashville Predators credit. They went into the full Tortorella. I mean, they were blocking shots from every direction, and, they end up finding a way to win that game. So back to Nashville 1-1. I don't think the series is necessarily over because there's no Demko, but certainly I don't think Vancouver is going to go on any long run if Thatcher Demko is not back in the mix sooner than later.
EJ, how unlucky are the Dallas Stars? Because they face a Golden Knights team that, as not the wild card Golden Knights that you saw for the last 2 months. You get to see the Mark Stone led with Hanifin and Hurdle Golden Knights that probably, if we're healthy, could have even arguably kept Vancouver sweating in the West, in the Pacific for the division title. And boy, did that Vegas team look exactly like the team that was one of those best teams in the West earlier in the season. Not saying I think the Stars, look, I have the Stars making it to the Stanley Cup final because of how good they are, but very shocking play by Ottinger in that first game. Hellebuck also hasn't had a great series in Winnipeg, two of the best goalies, I think, in the National Hockey League. What do you make of this Vegas team? Is this a team that you just kind of have to forget that W is in front of their name and think that this is one of the best teams in the West again?
Yeah. We talked about it. When they're healthy, they're just really hard to play against. They're big, they're deep, they got guys in the right spot. I was thinking about, Hurdle hasn't been there that long. How is he going to kind of fit into their bits. So far, it seems like it's, you know, hand and glove kind of fit. Stone comes back. You know, we know, you know, what he's all about. They got Eichel as their number one center. They've got, I think they've got a deeper offensive group probably with everybody healthy than they did last year. You know, like Alec Martinez, I don't know where his injury status is, but like he's not even playing right now. So, you know, that's a guy that's won part of three Stanley Cup winners, and he's not even in the lineup. Listen, the one area that I do wonder about is in goal. You saw Logan Thompson just banned on that shot from Mason Marchment from the sidewall that made it 4-3 late in the game, gave Dallas life, gave him a chance to maybe tie the game. They couldn't do it. You know, it's going to be a challenge. That's a, you know, the three series, you know, Tampa, Florida, this, the Dallas, Vegas, and Winnipeg, Colorado. I mean, it's really unfortunate for those teams. We're going to lose three teams there out of those six that are really good teams. I think, you know, even Tampa, I think Tampa's played so much better over the last 6 weeks. I mean, like, these are teams that could win it all in different circumstances. And, you know, that's why it's incumbent on, you know, the Rangers in Carolina. You know, they have 2-0 series leads. It's incumbent on those teams to take advantage of first-round matchups that are more favorable and get it done quick and get that rest. Because by the end, that accumulative rest is going to be really helpful for those teams. So, I mean, Vegas last year never played a seven-game series, right? They think they were 5 against Winnipeg, and they were 6, I think, against Edmonton, and 6 against Dallas, and then 5 against Florida. So, the Vegas Golden Knights are a handful. They're healthy. They can win again. I don't have any doubt in my mind. I just wonder about, you know, the goaltending. You know, is Thompson going to be good enough? Is Aiden Hill going to be back in there? Is he going to find his form? Because he's kind of struggled this year. That's my question mark. It's a big question mark, but I think a lot of teams have some questions somewhere in their group. But Vegas has the pedigree. They're well coached. They're big. They're strong. They're slotted perfectly. I wouldn't want to play them.
And, you know, you talk about trying to make short work. That's what the Carolina Hurricanes are going to try to do to the Islanders. I was encouraged by the Islanders' performance in Game 1, but I was completely discouraged. I know they were up 3-0, and it's easy to kind of look at the box score and say, oh, well, they had a 3-0 lead. How shocking they lost the game. If you watch the game, it was kind of shocking that they were up 3-0. I mean, when Jarvis scored to make it 3-2, I'm like, this game is over. There's no way they're going to hold on to that lead. I didn't think it would happen in 9 seconds, but they didn't have the puck. You can't score when you don't have the puck. They did. Good job out of them for getting the three that they got, but that was just complete dominance, and it was just unfortunate that they had the 3-0 lead, but I wasn't shocked at all they blew it because they couldn't add to the lead, and Carolina eventually was going to figure it out when they had the puck 90% of the time.
Well, the shot attempts in the game, I've never seen it before in a playoff game. I don't know if I've seen it before really in an NHL game. I have to see this year in San Jose. Like, they were really bad this year. Chicago had their moments, right? Like, were there any time this year when a team, the shot advantage, Carolina had 110 shot attempts. The Islanders had 28.
That's,
I mean, insane. 110 to 28. I mean, that to me,
that's not good.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah, it's not good. And then in the playoffs, I mean, I know Patrick Roy poo-pooed a little bit of the, well, they're blocking shots. You know, those shots are getting blocked. We have people there. But, like, at the end of the day, that's the geography of the game. It's pretty much in your end the whole game when it's 110 to 28 shot attempts. So, you're right. I think, you know, once it got to 3-2, you didn't think it was going to go well for the Islanders. But, like, the fashion in which it went bad.
Yeah.
Tough. You know, when I think about those plays, I mean, Thomas Hickey has been a colleague of ours at the NHL Network, and he works for the on the Islander broadcast. He made a great point in Game 1 when the Islanders were in a 6-on-5 situation. They were trying to get a tying goal. In the end, Carolina scored an empty net, and they won that game. But he talked about the 6-on-5 play in all these playoff games, really, because the games are close, right? So a lot of times you're going to be the net is empty. Can we get the tying goal, right? Mm-hmm. And or can we defend? And, you know, Carolina was able to create some havoc in the offensive zone. They won puck battles in that situation down a goal with the extra attacker on. And then they got a good break, because I don't know if you noticed, but Pellick got his stick got tied up at Svechnikov, and Pellick's stick got knocked out of his hand.
Yeah.
So he scrambled to get his stick. The puck, you know, then he kind of got back into position, but, like, you know, you knew he wasn't, you know, he was still finding his bearings, like, okay, where am I? Where am I supposed to be? And then the next thing you know, Svechnikov shoots it at the net, and Aho makes a great play to tip it in. But, I mean, that's just been, you know, it's just bad luck that happens in a bad moment, and then, yeah, you know, 9 seconds later, they get fucking deep, and, you know, Martinuk just makes a really good play. Dobson is not a great defender. He gets kind of shoved off the puck, and Martinuk makes a terrific play and scores what proves to be the game winner. So, you know, that's a tough one. If you saw the Anders Lee's press conference afterwards, boy, I've never seen him, you know, look that, you know, just heartbroken after a game. I mean, because the Islanders know, right? Like, those, some of those guys that have been there a while, I mean, they know the clock is ticking. And yeah, they have Carolina in a spot in 2 consecutive games where they might have been able to win one or both of those games and didn't do it. And so, you know, I don't know where they go from here. I imagine Sorokin will play game 3. Or, you know, it wasn't Varlamov's fault.
No, they just got to do something, right?
Varlamov played very well. But I thought, you know, I think this is probably where you go now to Sorokin. But Carolina's better on the road. So I don't, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, if the Islanders, you know, they're just going to have a, this is a tough road. It was going to be a tough road going into the series, and it's just got a lot tougher now. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens in game 3. The game's been close. Maybe the Islanders try to win a game. You know, they've got to look at it now, you know, a shift to shift hockey and just try to win a game and see what happens.
You know, I just thought about this and see if Anthony agrees. So I'm at the Garden last night. You're talking about pulling the goaltender. And there's 2 minutes and 48 seconds. The Capitals have an offensive draw. Carberry pulls Lindgren. And I'm thinking, this is a mistake. The Rangers have won 60% of the draws. It's almost 3 minutes left in the game. I mean, what do you do? I'm just kind of picturing, all right, Rangers win the faceoff, and they're going to make it a 2-goal game with like 2 minutes left to play. But was I wrong? They won like every face-off the rest of the way, and the Rangers could not clear the puck, and they got some glorious opportunities. So I guess that's why I don't coach in the NHL. But I was wondering, Anthony, if you were thinking the same thing, because I know you were as engaged as I was in the end of that game. I'm like, the stats tell you this is not – you're losing 60% of the face-off. I guess he just kind of – I know we're kind of in the world now of pulling the goaltender early instead of late, but – I was just wondering if you were curious about that and just like how surprised that Carberry ended up was dead on, because, boy, did he get some quality opportunities down the stretch after pulling a goal.
Yeah, no, it certainly looked like that was going to go very poorly, very quickly. In 5 seconds more, that could have ended really poorly for the Rangers. Yeah, no, I thought it was curious, but you're seeing teams make those aggressive moves. I mean, the difference between a 2-0 and 1-1 series is massive. And the Capitals kind of had the better play in the beginning of all the periods, and then there were times where the Rangers just couldn't get out of their own way. The really dumb too many men penalty that led to the third goal really kind of changed the tide. The Rangers were kind of getting into a little bit of a rhythm. They got a power play. They lost that power play because of that penalty, then gave up the goal, and they were on their heels ever since. It was curious, but it's curious only if it doesn't work, and it didn't work.
I just hate guys when I'm watching these playoff games and now it's like over with 2.5 minutes to play because they pulled the goaltender so early. But EJ, you've coached, you've scouted. I mean, is that just a feel thing by a coach, or is there analytics to tell you that that's the best time to do it?
I was sure there's analytics. There's analytics for everything, right? But I think at the end of the day, a coach has got to have a feel for the game and what's going on in the game. I do think when you get, for me, anytime, it's always situational, right? Like, who's just been on the ice? Who's tired? Do I have to use a timeout? But I think the offensive zone faceoff to me is the time for the early pull, because you get a chance. If you want to call a timeout, you can call one. If you get an offensive zone draw, it might be off an icing. So the other team might not necessarily have the players they want on the ice.
You don't want
the guys you want on the ice. I mean, I think those are all things to consider. I think the time is less the factor. Like last night watching the Colorado-Winnipeg game, like I thought Rick Bowness waited way too long to pull the goalie down too. And in fact, like, they had a power play with about 6 minutes left, I think, if my memory is correct here. Like, I would have considered down two, going for the six on four right there.
Yeah, I think all bets are off when you're down multiple goals.
If you need two goals, you've got to act quickly. But like in situations like when you're down a goal, I think really the thing to really remember for me is that offensive zone face-off. If the team ices it, who's on the ice for them? Can I come in here with my, can I load up here and take a shot? Those are the things to consider, because at the end of the day, you may not, like, they may drop that puck for an offensive zone draw with, like, 3:02 left on the clock, right? There might not be another faceoff in the game.
Yeah.
And there wasn't.
You don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So, like, you have to be in the moment. And I think, you know, going back, we talked about it, going back to the Stadium Series game with the Rangers and the Islanders, I thought, and it doesn't always work, but I thought Peter Laviolette nailed that situation throughout the end of that game, when to pull the goalie, taking shots. I just thought, you know, going for the 6-on-4, I thought that was a, you know, that was a master class in managing your team in that situation. So for me, it's not necessarily even about the number. It's about the offensive zone faceoff, when I can get it, can I get a matchup advantage, do I have a play to make a play here? This is the moment. It's like, you know, the argument of in baseball of, like, you know, in a high leverage situation, do I use the really good closer in the seventh or the eighth because this is the moment? That's obviously a different sport, a different circumstance, but I think in hockey for coaches is know the moment. You get that offensive zone draw, do I have a matchup advantage here? Can I, it's not so much gone to your point about, well, I'm losing faceoff. Like, at the end of the day, like, you're losing the game. You're going to have to do it anyway. So, like, we're going to win this damn faceoff. We're going to figure out a way to win it. And that's it. That's your, you know, that's, you have to win that faceoff in that moment. So you might have lost nine, but maybe the one you win is right there, and that's the one that matters. So for me, that's the thing to keep in mind is the offensive zone draw, when I can set up a play off a faceoff.
Well, it's a lot of fun. So many games, so many interesting outcomes. Got games tonight, and get multiple games every single night. So we finally get a little bit of a break in some of these series because of the travel, but it should be a lot of fun, man. Who did you have at your final picks? Did you make picks?
Well, I didn't make. You know what's funny? Because I was out of town for the end of the last 2 days of the season. I was up in Syracuse for a Bruce Springsteen concert. That's my little gift to myself.
Yes.
And so, like, when everybody was making picks, I didn't have to make them. So I didn't volunteer them, because at the end of the day, I don't really know who's going to win. I'll just tell you this. At the start of the season, I had Vegas over Carolina. That was my pick.
Now, so you got to stick with it, right?
Today, if we sit here today, I mean, I'm comfortable sticking with that pick, because I think Vegas can be there. I think they can win again. They're seemingly healthy right now. And I think Carolina can get there. Now, am I comfortable? I don't know. But, you know, like, that could play out, so I'll just stick with that. But you know, like, to your point, like you guys said earlier, like, Boston and Toronto, I think it's a coin toss. I would have picked Boston, you know? Mm-hmm. You guys picked Toronto. I mean, we could both, I mean, somebody's going to be right, but I think that's a coin toss of the series. And I think the interesting thing there, what I'll leave you with, is this Matthews thing. Is this the year Matthews is going to really, because he took it up a big notch in game two.
He did.
That's the thing I'm watching. He's the best player on the ice in that series.
That's the thing.
He's the biggest difference maker in that series. So we'll see how that goes there.
It's a great point.
That was my pick. I'll just stick with it.
The same was with McDavid, right? But, you know, he at least had a couple of years ago a trip to the conference final, although they got swept. But, you know, Matthews hasn't been out of the second round, and only one time getting to the second round last year. So that's where these careers are made, and we'll see if he can, you know, carry this team to the second round and beyond. And it should be a lot of fun. But as you said, there's so many good teams. It's like you get landlocked. Like, whoever, I think whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year really has to pat themselves on the back. It's always hard, but God, is it the Rangers? Yeah. Is it Carolina? Is it Boston? Toronto? Florida's in it? Like all these. There's only a handful of teams. Like Washington's not winning the Cup. Islanders aren't winning the Cup. I don't think the Kings are winning the cup. But that's it, right? I mean, I think that there's so many teams.
I don't think Nashville's winning the cup.
No, like, I don't think. Yeah, Nashville's probably not. Yeah. But
like, you know, I don't think Vancouver really comes to it. But they're not,
especially
like,
now with Demko out. Really, you're right. But
they had a bad break. But I go back to the Central Division. What a nightmare! What an absolute nightmare!
it's just so many teams. Yeah, you know, you could say that like eight teams have a legitimate chance of winning the Stanley Cup, and a bunch of them are not even going to make it out of the first round because they're playing each other. You know, like I think Colorado and Winnipeg are legit Cup contenders, and one of them's out in the first round. You know, it's crazy.
And Vegas, I mean, that's going to be some series. We'll start to see in game two. I mean, Dallas lost at home. Can they rebound? I mean,
but that's a 1-8. It's a 1-8.
I know,
but the eight upgrade.
It is. It's not really though, right? It's a 1-8, but it's only a 1-8 because they want to have a lot of injuries during the season.
They got the supersize before the playoffs started.
That's right. So now they're different a little. You know, now they're healthy again. So I know everybody's mad about that or whatever. If you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan, you're happy. You know, if you're another fan of another team, you're not happy. But at the end of the day, if your team did it, you'd be right on board.
Yeah,
but that's the way it is.
I'm glad we were able to hook up. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, guys. All take care.
Thanks, EJ.
That's the great EJ Raddick. Always fun to talk to him. It is crazy, right? I mean, you could be looking at like legit eight teams can win the cup, and how many of them are going to be out of the first round. It's such a difficult trophy to win, Anthony, and it's so much fun to watch all this go down. It's crazy if you're a fan.
I've enjoyed it very much. Other than Rangers games, I've enjoyed everything thoroughly.
Listen, that's true. And we got three games tonight. We've got that Bruin Maple Leaf, and he's so right. Now the scene shifts to Toronto, and Austin Matthews carried him the victory after they played so god-awful in game one. So it's a best of five right now with Toronto having home ice advantage. So that's the 7 o'clock start, 9:30, Golden Knights and the Stars. God, if Vegas wins this game in Dallas, it'll be nervous in Starland. And then the Oilers and the Kings. And the Kings trying to get back into that series in Edmonton. So you got a game two there, game two in Dallas, and game three in Toronto. Should be fun watching these games.
I'm really looking forward to it. I've enjoyed, like I said, other than the Rangers, because, of course, as a fan, it's hard to enjoy. Mm-hmm. I mean, game one, yes. Last night, the last 2 minutes, I think my heart is still racing from what transpired there. I can only imagine what it was like in the building, Don.
Oh, it was great. It was
the Miller goal sounded like the place blew the roof off.
God, the passing on that shorthanded goal was just absolutely tremendous. But then there was a little apprehension after the Wilson power play goal. And I got to say this for all the Rempe guys. You know, if Hedl's ever going to come back into the lineup, if Rempe keeps taking penalties, it's going to be at his expense. And I know he scored in game one, but you know he had the penalty in game one. Was it a questionable call? Okay, they survived it, but then he had the roughing penalty, which I thought was the right call. Didn't make a lot of sense to have that. Led to a goal. The only way the Capitals can be in this series if that power play wakes up. And they finally got on the board not once but twice after not scoring a power play goal in any of the previous five games. So that's the only way the Capitals can hang in the series, Anthony, is if the Rangers take dumb penalties. And if Rempe keeps taking them, you know, that's going to end up being a very difficult decision if they ever are going to be in a position to make a change and put Hedl back into the lineup. So.
Well, look, Don, I mean, we saw it last night. I mean, the fourth line didn't play poorly, but they certainly didn't have the game that they had.
No, you don't expect them to be great every night.
No, but you saw that they did want to get Gaudreau and Vesey out there for their defensive abilities, and then what happened late in the game? You saw Wennberg on that line. You saw Zibanejad on that line. They take Rempe out of the game. I think he had 7 hits in 7 minutes or something like that, I think that Sam said when I was listening. So
it's great.
But you know, no, that's great. And it's actually shocking that TJ Oshie has kind of been more of the irritant than Tom Wilson in this series.
And that was the right call, not having the penalty on Panarin. I know the head was hit, but I don't think it was targeted. I thought they got that right. Although in Washington, they're going to disagree.
Well, I don't think it's any different than that Zibanejad, the Wilson hit on Zibanejad when he didn't have the puck in the first game.
I didn't have a problem with that either.
No,
honestly. I didn't.
And they reviewed it. You know what? You could say you can't say missed call because they actually called a penalty on the ice and they reviewed it.
They did review it. I thought they handled that very well. I mean, the officiating's been kind of dicey for sure. And then Zibanejad gets tripped up in that first period. They don't see it. I don't know how you don't see it. It's right in front of the net. But I don't want to get caught up in the officiating. Nobody is in the position they're in because of the officiating. But still, sometimes they're going to be crazy calls. We're not going to get into that. All right, so Friday I'm going to be in Washington because I'm calling games 3 and 4.
That's right. Where can we hear that? Out of curiosity.
That could be on 98.7 ESPN New York, and you can listen to it on the app as well. So I'll be doing the K show from D.C. So I've got an early train down to D.C. on Friday morning. So get to the hotel, get ready, go to the arena. So we should be able to put a podcast together on Friday. If anything happens with any travel delays or anything wacky, just check your social media and we'll give you an update. But the intention is to have a podcast ready for Friday to get you set for the weekend. So we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good, Donnie.
All right. He's Anthony Pusick. I'm Don LaGreca. We'll talk to you again on Friday. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.